بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يزيد في الخلق ما يشاء إن الله على كل شيء قدير. Allah Ta'ala adds to His creation as He pleases. And He has power over all things. He adds to creation as He pleases comes under the verse جَاعِلِ الْمَلَائِكَةِ رُسُلًا أُولِي أَجْنِحَةٍ مَثْنَى وَثُلَاثَ وَرُبَعَ. Allah Ta'ala is the originator of creation. When we say Fatir, then Fatir means to create out of nothing. When man makes something, then we don't say that he made out of nothing. He had the raw material, or he had the parts, and he assembled it together. So to create out of nothing, that is the work of Allah Ta'ala. There was no existence, and then He brought existence. So from non-existence to bring into existence is called Fatir. So Allah Ta'ala says that He's created this Malaika and these angels, which is one integral part of our faith, to believe in the angels, Malaika, created of Noor. La ya'asoon Allah, they don't disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they don't have human needs like we have needs. Their creation on their own, they don't have the type of human needs. They don't need to eat. They don't need to sleep. They don't need a spouse for companionship, etc. So they are a creation of their own. And then, because they have to move with speed, Allah Ta'ala has blessed them with wings. 3, 2, 4, and Jibreel Islam has 600 wings. When he had to overturn the cities of the people of Lut alayhi salam, then he just required the tip of one wing to overturn them. Just the tip of one wing, and the whole town was overturned. So that's Jibreel alayhi salam. So this is another creation that is far more powerful than all the creation that we know of. We know of jinnat being powerful, but then in the face of the malaika, then the jinnat are nothing as well. These malaika, they come as our friends, provided we obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And with the disobedience of Allah ta'ala, these malaika leave. Sir Sayyid, who was the founder of the Aligarh University, he boarded a train, and an alim had seen him. Maulana Abdul Hayy Lakhnavi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh had seen Sir Sayyid, made out from the features more or less seems to be a Muslim. So he was quite puzzled, this man here, being a Muslim, then why is he carrying a dog around? So Maulana inquired from him, why do you carry the dog around? So his reply was that I have heard from the ulama that where there is a dog, then they aren't the malaika. Malaika don't come in a place where there is dogs. So I'm doing this as a security against death, the angel of death. For this dog, or the angel of death won't come to me. So Mawlana's reply was, but there must be someone to pull out the ruh and the soul of this dog. He said, yeah, well, that angel that is appointed to pull out the ruh of this dog will pull out your ruh. So he says, are you Mawlana Abdul Hayy Lakhnavi? Mullah asked, are you Sir Sayyid? This was the first meeting. He introduced himself and they introduced himself, but under the pretext of a dog. So these malaika, they are friendly to mu'mineen, they are friendly to believers, and there are some things that keep away these malaika. Music keeps away the malaika, musical instruments. Then the second thing that keeps away this malaika is living and remaining in a state of najasat, impurity, etc. You remain in that condition, then the malaika don't stay in that house. Or there is najasat and filth all around the house, and you're not particular about cleaning it, those malaika don't remain there. Then the third thing that keep away this malaika is dogs. Jibreel alayhi salam promised to meet Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day, and he didn't come in accordance to the promised appointment. So Rasul-e-Pak inquired that he was supposed to come. So no, there was a dog inside the house. So one small little dog, pup, had sneaked into the house. Rasul-e-Pak came to know about it. He got the dog away out, and he got the place also cleaned up. Jibreel Islam came in. So Jibreel al-Islam, as powerful as he may be, and as friendly as he is with Rasul-e-Pak, he couldn't come to the house just because of a dog. So where are the malaika of mercy going to come to us if we have any of this filth? Right. The fourth thing that keeps away this malaika is speaking lies and not having the right type of tongue. That he speaks about, man doesn't have the right tongue, speaks lies, anything dispasses him. Then the malaika find such a stench that they leave over a mile. They can't tolerate the stench that comes out of the mouth of the person that is a liar, dishonest, bad-mouthed. So the malaika can't stay. He may have perfumes, he may be brushing his teeth, everything else, but the malaika can't be around there. But you are bad-mouthed, so the malaika can't be around. You're aggressive, you're bad-mouthed, so the malaika can't come. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'anhu is talking, someone is abrupt with Abu Bakr, shouting at him, abrupt at him. Rasulullah remains, but the moment Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu responds, Rasulullah gets up and moves away. So Abu Bakr inquires, what's the problem, Ya Rasulullah? So as long as you remain silent, Allah Ta'ala appointed a farishta to speak on your behalf. But the moment you took on, then that malaika went away. So aggression, being rude, impolite, getting into arguments, and you get the malaika getting away from you. Don't you see, you don't get into an argument, no shouting, and no aggression, and you find a feeling of serenity and peace within yourself, calmness within yourself. But the moment they're shouting, aggression, impolite, rude, lies, etc., you'll find that feeling of polite, that feeling of calmness, that feeling of sukoon and peace leaves you. So this feeling, many a times, is a blessing of these malaika. These malaika, they bless your heart. They grant your heart that type of tranquility and that type of peace. But you of your own, you had chased the malaika. So they went away. Now you don't blame anybody but yourself. The malaika were there to support you, but you had to lot things to say. When you had a lot of things to say, then the malaika had left. Had you just remained silent, those malaika would have been on your side. Okay. So you want this malaika, and you want them the crucial moments, difficulty, crucial moments, then you need to see that you keep their passages and their avenues open to your house. Don't, because of our naivety, don't we close those avenues and those passages that will lead the malaika to our homes. So these are the things that block away and keep away the malaika. One last thing that keep away the malaika is pictures. And now, perhaps there isn't a home where there isn't a picture. If you don't have a picture book, you'll have a newspaper. You don't have a newspaper, then you have a television. You don't have a television, then you have a cell phone. All these things are recording photos. They are recording photo. Those photos are stored up in the memory. So, really, what are we doing? We are keeping away, chasing away those malaika, those that were supposed to come to bless us. In the battle of Badr, malaika had come. And Allah Pak says, we had sent those malaika. أَلَنْ يَكْفِيَكُمْ أَنْ يُمِدَّكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ بِثَلَاثَةِ آلَافٍ مِّنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ مُنْزَلِينَ بَلَا إِنْ تَصْبِرُوا. That if you are patient and you are steadfast, you have got my consciousness and awareness, taqwa you have got, then I will send this malaika. This malaika will come to support you. They will come to your rescue. إِذْ يُوحِي رَبُّكَ إِلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ أَنِّي مَعَكُمْ فَثَبِّتُوا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Allah Pak is commanding the malaika that you go into this Muslimin and you strengthen their hearts. They mustn't fear anything. إِذْ يُوحِي رَبُّكَ إِلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ. Allah Pak is commanding. You go there and you strengthen the hearts. فَثَبِّتُوا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. سَأُلْقِي فِي قُلُوبِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا الرُّعُبُ. I will come and I will instill terror into their hearts. But what you do, O Malaika, you go and you strengthen the hearts. So this strength comes from this Malaika. The sukoon comes from this Malaika. The peace and tranquility come from this Malaika. Now, our good luck is we keep the passages and the avenues of this Malaika open, and we keep them open, we welcome them, we receive them, let them come in. So these are amongst the avenues that will keep the Malaika open, Malaika that will keep them comfortable, you will welcome them into your homes. So sometimes it is the newspaper, sometimes it is a magazine, sometimes it is a television, sometimes it's a photo album that we have got, memory. Some things we are excused, we have no two ways about it, ID documents or money that has got pictures. These are things that you can't avoid. So there Allah Ta'ala makes maaf. But where you are keeping it of your own choice, of your own happiness, your own choice, you're opting to keep these things, really you're blocking off the malaika. Where you don't have a choice, Allah Ta'ala forgives you. Allah Ta'ala overlooks that, why you don't have a choice. But you're doing it of your own choice, then obviously then you are blocking off those malaika. In the hadith, a warning comes, that Yu'zini ibn Adam. Man hurts me. Who is complaining? Allah Pak is complaining that man hurts me. So this type of hadith comes around two or three places. Maybe comes more, but I know about two or three places where Allah Ta'ala complains. So hadith al-Qudsi, where Allah Ta'ala complains that man hurts me. The one way that you hurt Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is you swear times. See, time doesn't work of its own. It's in Allah Pak's control. Like the wind doesn't work of its own. It's in the control of Allah Ta'ala. It comes purely by His command, so you can't swear time. You can't swear wind. It's not acting of its own command. So you are swearing it, really that swear is going directly towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Like a postman, he has delivered a letter to you, and that letter contains some very tragic news. So you don't swear the postman. The postman is not acting of his own. He is acting upon instruction. How can you swear him? You can't blame him, you can't swear him, you can't curse him. He's not acting of his own. He is acting upon instruction. When he's acting upon instruction, then you can't swear him. The swear will go directly to his sender. The sender is the state. The state has sent him. He summoned you. The state has summoned you. So he's come and delivered the summons to you. You can't swear him. You swear him, really, that swear is going directly to the state. So you are swearing the wind, or you're swearing times, and that swear is going, the curse is going directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah ta'ala is the sender. So therefore Allah ta'ala complains that Yu'zini ibn Adam, man hurts me. It is obvious that nothing can hurt Allah ta'ala, right? Nothing can hurt Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is beyond all that. So there isn't anything that can hurt Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But like you will feel hurt, Allah Ta'ala is talking in our language. Okay, these things hurt me. Like how it hurts you, then this, I take exception to it. Like when you get hurt, what you do? You respond. So Allah Ta'ala is saying, I take exception to this. Maybe other things I may overlook, but this type of thing I take exception to. So one of the things that Allah Ta'ala takes exception to is this, that you swear the time. وَأَنَا الدَّهَرُ I am time, I change the night and the day. وَقَلِّبُ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارَ I sometimes increase the duration of the day, increase the duration of the night. Who does that? I do that. So you can't swear time. وَقَلِّبُ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارَ Exactly the same, Allah Ta'ala takes exception when any Allah Wala is being slandered, he's being hurt. He's being hurt, any person that is Allah Wala. Whether it is a Nabi or it is the deputy of a Nabi, but we need to be very careful when we open our tongues against them. An alim, whoever it is, but he's teaching deen, he's propagating deen, there may be some flaws and weaknesses. Like we have flaws and weaknesses, we have limitations. He will also have his limitations and weaknesses. Overall, he's looking for the good. When he's looking for the good, then you don't open your mouth against him. Don't make it your business to speak out against him. Overall, he's intending good, he's looking good, and he's striving for the good. He may have flaws, he may have weaknesses. That's between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't search for the weaknesses. See, in the Jummah khutbah we hear, Allah, Allah, fi ashabi. You be careful of my companions. The companions of Nabi Sallam had two sifat. One is they had the company of Rasul Pak Sallam, and the second, they had the wording of Rasul Pak Sallam. So the alim doesn't have the company, but he has the word of Rasul Pak Sallam. So he's very close. Because he's got half, he doesn't have the other half. He's got the word. When he's got the word, then you will respect him. His inconsistencies and weaknesses, provided they are not in the public, they don't talk about it. You just bury it and forget it. It's a demeanor that's between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Forget the thing. Yes, if it is broadcast, if it has become public, then obviously you need to correct it. It's a Muslim's duty to correct. But if it's between him and Allah ta'ala, then don't talk about it. Someone that knows him, then they go and correct him. Correct him privately, correct him individually. Perhaps his responses will be better. Otherwise, just forget the topic. Don't you make it your business. Don't talk about it. Don't make it your business. When you study the lives of our pious elders, you know, you'll find a great similarity between them and the Sahaba Ikram. You will find that you will begin to understand the hadith better. Right? You will find that you will understand the hadith better. Because one is the explanation that you get, and then you get the illustration, practical illustration. So when the practical illustration is before you, you seem to grasp it even better. Someone told you the theory, the concept they showed you the theory, but now you see it properly, you see it with your own eyes, you see it playing out. When you see it playing out, then your mind takes it even better. You understand, oh, Shah, this is how it works. Driving, you know the concept, right? You know the theory. But then, when you put on behind the wheel, then it's a different picture. This is a different story altogether. One police officer, generally they live out of bribe, right? And you may tell them, see, it's not a bribe, huh? It's a hot day, it's only for coke. Right. But if it was only for coke, you use your brains, there's hundreds of people living in the street there, you don't give the money for coke. You only found him the suitable person to give the money for coke. People, they come and bring strange type of explanation. Oh, you see, I didn't bribe, I told him, it's not a bribe, huh? So you don't have to say it for it to be a bribe. Right? You don't have to say it for it to be a bribe. You think now you have to say it for it to be a bribe. No, it doesn't have to be that. So anyway, So this police officer, and Hazrat Sheikh knew him very well. And he knew his income, how he's living. So he's got a walima, something at home. He invited the Sheikh, rahmatullah. The Sheikh knows the income. So he excused himself, now I've got some engagements, I won't be able to make it. Now this person knows, now if I can't get to the lower authority, I have to go to the higher authority. I'll get the higher authority will fix everything up. So he goes to Sheikh's Sheikh. Hazrat Maulana Khalil Ahmad Sahan Puri Sahib rahmatullah, I've got a dawat on, and Hazrat, you must bring Mauli Zakaria out Saud. See how you worked it out. People know how to, businessmen, they know how to work things out, you see. So anyway, Hazrat Maulana Khalil Sahib rahmatullah doesn't know about him. When he doesn't know about him, he went and explained Hazrat Sheikh, okay, we got a dawat on, you will accompany me. Now look at it in retrospect. Sheikh wanted, he could have told his Sheikh, you know what, this person's income is haram, so I don't want you, I don't want your system to be contaminated with any haram, so please don't attend the dawat. That was one option. He wouldn't have been doing wrong. But then, he viewed the whole situation from another perspective. Not just from one perspective, he viewed it from another perspective, and he says, okay, I've got an opportunity today. Allah Pak's Nabi Sallam says, you conceal the fault of a Muslim, and Allah Ta'ala will conceal you. Man satara an mu'min, satara Allahu anhu yawm al-qiyamah. You conceal his fault, Allah Ta'ala will conceal your fault. Really, we don't, these hadiths, we feel don't apply to us. We'll talk of anybody and everybody, small thing, big thing, but we must give it. Say, no, at least, now I feel light. But you should rather feel heavy. Then feeling light, disgracing and insulting a mu'min. You're exposing a mu'min's fault and you feel you're feeling light. No, no, it's not that. You rather feel heavy, feel burdened, but don't you disclose the mu'min. Allah Pak loves you. Allah Pak loves him as well. You see in the one perspective of him, he's got sin, right? But did you see the perspective of him being a believer? Allah Pak loves the ibadat in him. Loves the iman him. Allah Pak will definitely disdain this, but this is something Allah Ta'ala appreciates. So you saw him only from the one perspective and you forgot the other perspective, then no, you have seen this picture partially. You have only seen it partially, you haven't seen it holistically. So do you consider the fact that he's a mu'min? And when he's a mu'min, then I need to honor him. I need to honor him because of his iman. Where we get confused is sometimes we come across the hadith, al-bughdu fillah, to hate someone for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? You hate someone for the sake of Allah ta'ala. He's committing a misdemeanor, he's committing a wrong, and because of the wrong, you have a hatred. That's in its place that you have a hatred for the wrong. Right? Now, on the one end, you say, you need to consider yourself to be the lowest. Right? But contrary to this now is contrasting, and on the other hand, now you come across this where you need to hate the person for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. Now how do you reconcile the both? One side you say, you know, you must have tawazu and consider yourself to be the lowest. Then you come across this situation where you need to disdain for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now how do you marry the both? Al-Mawad Thami Sahib Rahmatullah, these Buzurgan Adin, Allah Ta'ala has given them that sight, that vision. See, even to understand hadith, etc., then you need that type of vision. That vision comes, it's a nur from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala opens your heart. Then you can see things like broad daylight. He says, take a situation, right? You are a garden boy, right? In our language, you're saying he's a garden boy. Or he's the toilet cleaner, right? You're the toilet cleaner, and the king commands you, that you see the prince has committed a misdemeanor and you need to flog him with the 50 lashes. Right? So what the king is telling you, see my prince, my son, the prince, he has committed a misdemeanor and you need to flog him with the 50 lashes. Right? Now the garden boy, he can't lose the respect for the prince. The king is saying, see the prince, my son, see how he's talking. The king saying that the prince, my son, he's committed a misdemeanor and you need to flog him. So will he lose respect? Will you ever tell him, the son of a stupid, you're good for nothing, you're a fat lump of misery? Will you tell him this type of words? You are nothing, your father is even more useless than yourself. Will you talk to him like that? You won't say these words. Rather, you will have all the type of fear. See, the king is watching. And he's instructed me to lash him, to flog him. So I need to execute the command. But I need to execute the command with respect. I can't think him to be insignificant. I can't disdain him. I can't humiliate him. I can't use any word that will be of insult. But by the same token, I'll need to carry out this command. So you are hitting him as per the command of the king. But you respect him because of his status and his position. You haven't lost sight of that. So this is where we get lost. We get carried away. Hey, now this, and you got this hadith that you need to have books fillah. Man abghada lillah. But then you hear the hadith about tawazu, and then you feel that you should think yourself to be the lowest of everything else, of everybody. You know? So how do you get the both going? That's the one way. The second thing is this, that are you the judge or is Allah Ta'ala the judge? Allah Ta'ala is the judge. La tuzakku anfusakum is the command of the Quran, that you don't consider yourself to be pious. Huwa a'lamu biman ittaqa. Who is pious? Allah Pak knows. And that piety is here. So you don't know what is in there. Do you know what is in there? You don't know what is in there. That person may be far, far greater than you. So then how can you disdain him? How can you look down upon him? So you see, both are being reconciled. You have got a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you should be hard on him. So you'll be hard on him. But also you have got a command that you need to respect that iman that is in him. So you respect that iman that is in him. So you have to carry out the both instructions. You will hit him, you will scold him, you will dislike the wrong that is in him, but by the same token you will respect him as well, because you don't know what's in his heart. As long as he's a believer, you don't know what is in his heart. You won't disdain him, you won't humiliate him, you won't run him down. That is why Al-Muwatta Thami Sahib Rahmatullah used to say that waaz and bayan is not everybody's work. Waaz and bayan is not everybody's work. One person saw a Hafiz Sahib talking in the masjid, you see. So he shouted the Hafiz Sahib, yeah, you think your Hafiz Sahib is too big, so you can talk in the masjid. Eh? So that Hafiz Sahib left coming to the masjid. Mullah says, like that Hafiz Sahib is gunegar not for coming to the masjid and performing his namaz, this person that admonished him in this way is also gunegar. He actually changed him. There was a way to do it. He didn't learn the way and he went to teach. He didn't learn the approach and he went and commanded. Now learn the approach first, then command. That is a command. But the command has got, every command has got a precondition. Namaz is a command, right? But there is a precondition. Make wuzu, be pak, etc. Have your clothing pak. And then come into namaz. Now you didn't do the precondition, you came straight into namaz, obviously it's wrong. So exactly the same command, you need to instruct the person when he's doing a wrong, but understand what is the precondition as well. So as the Shaykh Rahmatullahi says now, okay, I have got an opportunity to conceal the fault of a believer. I can't let it go. The one is that I need to conceal and expose him in the front, in the presence of my Shaykh. Right? But then now, you're getting the command of Rasulullah that is overriding everybody. He is saying that you conceal the fault of a believer, Allah Ta'ala will conceal your fault. So Rasulullah's command, it prevails over everything and everybody. So I can't disclose this, and I need to respect that hadith as well. So the Shaykh says that I went. I ate, and I knew that the food there was not right. So I came out of the house, I came home, and I pushed my finger inside, and I threw up, I vomited everything out. So that was easier for me than to go and humiliate and disgrace or disclose the fault of a Muslim. to disclose the fault of the Muslim was even harder for me. So what I'm getting at is we're talking about picture making, right? And the wrongs that are contained in this picture making. And we don't realize that we're blocking off the avenues of the malaika into our homes, into our shops, into our places because of these type of things. We do these things and we think nothing of it. That's even worse, when we commit a wrong and we don't think much about it. You know, one is a person committing a wrong and he makes istighfar. And the other is that he's doing the wrong, but he doesn't consider that, he doesn't count it to be a wrong. So it's even worse, you see. So especially nowadays, the use of the tongue. And secondly, apart from the use of the tongue, is picture making. And we consider it as a small thing. Allah Pak complains that, Yu'zini ibn Adam, that this man, he hurts me. He takes pictures of animate objects. Like, it hurts Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by you cursing the times. It hurts Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by you taking pictures of animate objects. Like it hurts him there, it hurts him here as well. You know, if someone swears you, how you take it? You insulted. Don't you feel hurt? He swears you. He swears you in the presence of others. How do you feel? So this swear and this curse is going directly to Allah Ta'ala. And how will Allah Ta'ala take it? He will take it as a serious matter. Like you take it as a serious matter. A worker has been working for you for 10 years. But he swore you one day. You will take it lightly. He's been working for you 10 years. But one day you swore him. He doesn't take it lightly. He takes it very seriously. So this curse is going and it's going to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala straight. So can you imagine how Allah ta'ala takes it? So the misuse of the tongue. You know, the hadith speaks about what is the thing that will generally take people to Jannat? And what is the thing that will take people to Jahannam generally? The thing that will take people to Jannat generally is taqwa and good character. But generally the thing that will take people to Jahannam is the tongue and the private area. Generally, moreover, people will go to Jahannam because of the misuse of these two. The tongue, misuse of the tongue, and misuse of the private area. In other words, everything that is associated, eyes, ears, etc., all that is associated to this private area. So this is the thing that will take you to Jahannam generally. Rasulullah summed it up all. Tongue and private area. Get that right. In other words, eyes, ears, or look after all these things, because all is going in the same direction. So you see this tongue and the disaster of this tongue. Look at a person, says Aisha radiallahu, right? The most beloved of the wives of Rasulullah, our mother, right? Rasulullah used to receive wahi while says Aisha radiallahu was with him under one sheet. Hazrat Jibreel Islam himself conveyed salams to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. The most beloved amongst the men is Abu Bakr Siddiq. Amongst the women, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. Can you imagine the position? Rasulullah SAW left the world in her laps. Rasulullah SAW is buried in her room. She's already been told that you're my companion in this life and the next. So this is Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. Once there is some discussion about Hazrat Safiya radiallahu anha. Right. So this carries on in co-wives, you know, each one tries to attract the husband. Happens. To a certain extent, it's overlooked in Islam, right? But provided it's within the parameters. If it's beyond the parameters, then it's not acceptable. So Aisha radiallahu anha, in spite of all this virtue, in spite of all this merit, and she had to say one thing, what? Hasbuka min Safiya, kaza wa kaza. Oh, this little Safiya. Right. She had to say this word. Oh, this little Safiya. You know, to show that she's a little bit tiny, a little bit small, a little bit short. Right. Now, if it was one of us, just we think like this. If it was one of us, right, our child, you got two daughters or three daughters, and one daughter is telling about the other daughter in this manner, you would just laugh it out, right? But Rasulullah took it very seriously. He says, تَكَلَّمْتِ بِكَلِمَةٍ لَوْ مُزِجَتْ بِهَا الْبَحْرُ لَمَزَجَتْهَا وَكَمَا قَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. You spoke one word. But you do you know the pollution, the contamination, and the dirt that came out from it? You know what's the seriousness of the dirt that came out of it? What pollution came out of it? What dirt has come out of it? The dirt that came out of it is that dirt, if it were put into the oceans, you know, if it was poured into the oceans, then this dirt will overwhelm the water of the ocean in spite of its saltiness. That ocean water, it will eat up everything and anything, isn't it? You put a motor car or boat, anything, it will eat up anything. It's so salty, it's got so much of chemicals, so rich in chemicals, it eat up anything and everything. But this one word that you used is so bad in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that one word will eat up the ocean as well. It's so bad. So we are talking about the things that will hurt Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what I said, Allah, Allah fi ashabi. Be careful. And therefore, the khutbah on the Jummah, you know. And now it's become a style, you know, to speak ill against the pious of the past. To speak out against the pious of the past, even the pious of the present. Then we speak out against them, as though now we got our Jannat already reserved, and we passed all Qabr, we passed Hashar, everything, and we got our tickets, we just entering there. Everything is worked out. We got our private jet, we just, only thing left is to land in Jannat, that's all. As though we carry on like that. Okay. So, Nabi Sassam, he warns us. Man aadhaahum, it's a lengthy hadith, but I'm just showing you the tail end of this hadith. Man aadhaahum faqad aadhani. Who hurts my sahaba, really, he's hurt me. And who's hurt me, he's hurt Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By the same token, like you hurt the sahaba kiram, then those that are the deputies of the sahaba kiram, you hurt them like you're hurting Allah ta'ala. And you'll find in the whole Quran Sharif, right, or in the hadith, look at the treasure of the hadith in the Quran. There's just two places where Allah Pak takes it very personally. He says, those that consume interest, right, I declare war against them. And those that harbor enmity for my friends, then I declare war against them. These are two places that I've come across. You consume interest and you harbor enmity for my friends, then I declare war against you. We can't do all what they say, all right. Sometimes they are a little bit firm in what they say. And some things we cannot practice on. But the last thing that we need to do is to harbor any illness towards them. What they have done is between them and Allah Ta'ala. Allah Pak knows it. They know it is enough. But we don't go and advertise these things. See, it's a sign of deficient love. When you have got love for somebody, then the small misdemeanors and all be overlooked, right? We don't talk about it. It's my own child, I don't go and advertise his wrongs. It's my wife, I don't go and advertise her wrongs. It's my parents, they will also have mistakes, but I don't go and advertise them. Do I go and advertise them? In the face of the good that they have done, I forget all this. In some other occasion where I find it appropriate and I find it right, then I go and advise them, finish. It ends up there. But I don't go and advertise their wrongs. Because I've got a respect for them, I've got a love for them. So what all this indicates that we don't have the required amount of respect or the required amount of love. Had we had the required amount of love and respect, it wouldn't have happened. You know, when the love comes in, then love blinds you, isn't it? You put the best type of intellectual argument and all that, but when love comes, all that argument just snaps off. Is it right or not right? So love blinds you. So exactly the same, if you had the love for these people, it will just blind you, just block everything off. Because you've got love for them. So this is the third or the fourth thing which Allah Pak says, that really, this thing, it hurts me. What is it? Picture. In fact, the hadith also speaks about the du'as being rejected. Now, you want to know why the du'as are not getting accepted. One of the things that reject the du'as is dogs and pictures. pictures of animate objects, and you reject your du'as. Your du'as are coming, you're sending your du'as, all rejected. All du'as are being rejected. Like, you posting a letter without stamp. What will happen? It'll go through. And you're wondering, hey, I'm posting the letter, I put it into the post box, but it's not going through. Getting rejected all the time, I'm putting again, and getting rejected. So you just put the stamp, and it will go through. So the stamp was that you leave this picture making. In any level, at any level, but you leave it out, and you will see your du'as are getting through. On the day of Qiyamah, the one that was the picture maker, Allah will call him. And says, you see, you made these pictures here, now you instill the life into it. There will be picture makers on the day of Qiyamah, and Allah Ta'ala will give them a grain, barley or something, and you make a knot of that. Can you make a knot of a barley? Grain, you can't. So you can't make that, then you remain suffering in Jahannam. The worst type of punishment on the picture maker. Now, all this hadith is coming in Bukhari Sharif. It's not coming in any other kitabs. Bukhari Sharif, most authentic, most reliable. But then we want to experiment. We want to experiment. Deen is not a thing to experiment. Dunya, you experimented. It's a live wire or a dead wire. Maybe will come out alive, right? It's not so dangerous. Right? But deen is not a thing to experiment. Really, it's not a thing to experiment. If there is 9 possibilities of it being wrong, being right, right? And 1 possibility of it being wrong, what will you do? Will you take the chance? 9 possibilities of a thing being right, and 1 possibility of it being wrong, right? Will you take a chance? You won't take a chance, right? You got a glass of water, and there's 9 possibilities, there's about 1/4 glass of urine in it. And 1 possibility that is free of urine, will you drink it? You won't drink it. Why? It's halal to drink it. You won't say it's haram. There's 9 possibilities. They give you 9 reasons that all this is halal. Sanha approved it, Jamiat approved it, so-and-so approved it. But this 1/4 possibility of that thing containing urine, will you drink it? You won't drink it. So exactly the same, when there is a difference of opinion, etc., someone is saying whatever, 9 possibilities of it being right, 1 possibility of it wrong. Where there's an excruciating circumstance, you can't come out of it, right? Like a ID, etc., it's alright. Allah will make maaf, inshallah. But where you can help it, why should you get yourself involved in this? Your du'as are getting rejected. The malaika are not with you. Punishment is being, the punishment is in suspense. So many things you are risking just because one person said that this is permissible. Is that fair? Is that just? Does that stand to reasoning? It doesn't stand to reasoning. When so many people said it's not permissible, one person is saying it's permissible. Even in fact, if it was the other way around, then you wouldn't have experimented it. So anyway, we're talking about the malaika. Da'il al-malaikati rusulan uli ajnihati mathna wa thulatha wa ruba. In this ayat, Allah says, yazidu fil khalqi ma yasha. We add to creation as we please. Someone, tafsir comes, that someone is given a beautiful voice, someone is given physical beauty, someone is given wealth, someone is given strength, someone is given knowledge, someone is given understanding, someone is given prosperity, someone is given health. يَزِيدُ فِي الْخَلْقِ مَا يَشَاءُ. Allah Ta'ala grants it to whomsoever He pleases. Someone is given more of this, someone is given more of that. So it isn't a thing for you to be jealous about, because it is the distribution of Allah Ta'ala. He has given him like this, and He has given him like this. This is the work of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Like Allah Ta'ala made you man. So now you don't aspire, now why Allah Ta'ala made me man? He could have made me jinnat, or He could have made me malaika. Why did He make me man? If you want to aspire like that, will you get anywhere? Yeah, could have been malaika, could have been just flying the heavens and coming back all the time. Eh? So by if you aspire like that, 50 hours you frustrating yourself, will you gain anything? You're not going to gain anything. So you don't frustrate yourself, because this is already decreed. It's a divine distribution. He's got more of this, He's got more of this, He's got more of this. It's a divine distribution. Like, you won't frustrate yourself there. In these areas also, don't frustrate. The right way is just be happy. Just surrender and be happy with Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala, I got more than what I deserve. I'm very grateful for that. Just carry on. You'll find if you carry on pushing this thought into your mind, you'll find a cheer within you. You'll feel yourself happy. You'll be cheered up. Allah Ta'ala, I got more than what I deserve. In every respect, whether it's your child, whether it's your wife, whether it's your wealth, whether it's your health, but you keep thinking like this, you'll find eventually it will bring happiness in you. Now you begin to think, I got everything right, but my child, he let me down. I got everything right, but my daughter, she let me down. I got everything right, but my wife let me down. I got everything right, but my businessman or my worker. So you will definitely feel that, I got more than what I really deserve. I got more than that. And this outwardly seems to be a little bit difficult, but there may be a hidden secret of yours within this. Right? You know, one woman, a brother comes and confides with me. So, the brother says that my sister, she was involved in an accident and both the feet were amputated. In spite of the feet being amputated, she says, Allah, I'm very happy. I'm very thankful. Even to this day, you have this young woman, but imagine the piety and the righteousness. Lapak, I'm very happy with you. I'm very thankful. And you'll find a constant cheer and happiness on her face. So the brother asked her, what happened? Why are you so cheerful? You know, it's like your life gone out of you. You're totally handicapped. You can't move. And yet you're saying, Allah Ta'ala, I'm very happy. So my problem was, I liked outgoing life. Shopping, malling, hauling and all that. I liked all that type of thing. And I couldn't just get out of it. I knew it was wrong, not the right thing. But I had an addiction for this, because I was brought up like that from childhood. I had an addiction for it, I couldn't just get out of it. When Allah Ta'ala took the leg away, automatically it came. So sometimes outwardly it seems like a punishment, really it's a blessing. Okay. One person came to Mustafa Rahmatullah Ali, and he says, you know, my child is crying at night too much. He said, yeah, in the old zamana, people used to get up for tahajjud and they used to cry. Now there's nobody crying. So someone has to do the crying. Now this musibah then all comes, that it makes you cry a little bit. You come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, otherwise you're not going to come. No musibah, you're not going to come. مَا يَفْتَحِ اللَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ مِنْ رَحْمَةٍ فَلَا مُمْسِكَ لَهَا. What mercy Allah ta'ala opens up, then nobody can hold back. And what He holds back, nobody can open up. See, we feel, no, this person was, the blockage, you know, he'd blocked it out. He's a spanner in the work. Why must we think that he's a spanner in the work? He's a spanner in the work. And then every coming day, then we have got an enmity for people. So why do we say that? What mercy Allah Ta'ala has blocked off, nobody can open. And what He has opened, nobody can block off. In other words, that was not meant for you. Can't we just open our minds and reflect over the reality? Rather than saying, he is a spanner in the work, and he's a spanner in the work, and frustrating ourselves and talking about enmity, etc. all the time, then why can't we just open our minds to reality that Allah Ta'ala blocked this off, finish, kalas. Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu asked Hazrat Mughira ibn Shu'bah radiallahu anhu, it was his advisor, that relate to me a hadith that you heard directly from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But here's something what you learned from Nabi Sallam directly. So he says, Rasulullah Sallam used to recite this after Faraz Namaz. Allahumma la mani alima a'tait, wa la mu'ati alima manat, wa la yanfa'u dhal jaddi min kal jadd. Allah Pak, what you give, nobody can block. And what you block off, nobody can give. And nobody striving can go against your decision. No matter what he strives, how he strives, how he struggles, but if it is going against your decision, his strive is of no avail. No matter how hard he works, from 8 to late, or whatever time, however he works, but nobody's strive can go against your decision. Now this dua is not only read after the namaz. Rasulullah used to recite this even in the qawma, after the ruku, used to get up, and he should say the similar dua. أحق ما قال العبد وكلنا لك عبد لا مانع لما أعطيت ولا معطي لما منعت ولا ينفع ذا الجد منك الجد. The best thing that a man can say, the most correct thing that a man can say is this. See how Nabi Sallam is wording it. أحق ما قال العبد. The most correct thing, the best thing that a man can say is that when you block something, nobody can open. And when you open something, nobody can block. And nobody's striving can work against your decision. So it's not only after namaz, but in namaz also, in the qawma, you decide this. Now you tell me, if you got this conviction, you got this yaqeen all the time, and you are strengthening it, will there be any reason for you to have malice and to have any type of ill feelings for anybody? Allah, it was coming my way, it came. It wasn't meant for me, it didn't come. You will be open-hearted. Your mind will be open. You won't block your mind. Alright, tomorrow is another day. This didn't work out. Allah didn't want it to happen. So let me carry on now. Let me strive. Let me carry on with life. But then, if you don't have this yaqeen now, when things don't work out, you stop it. Hey, our things didn't work out now. You're depressed, despondent, etc. So really, deen is a blessing. It opens your mind. It blocks away depression, despondency. It wasn't meant, it didn't come. Amir ibn Abdi Qais, rahmatullah alayhi, says, when I get up in the morning, then I recite 4 verses. And after that, I'm not concerned as to what happens after that. I just read 4 verses. And after that, I'm not concerned. Whatever happens, happens after that. One is the same verse, ma yaftahi Allahu linnas. And the other verse, وَيَمْسَسْكَ اللَّهُ بِدُرِّنْ فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ إِلَّهُ وَيُرِدْكَ بِخَيْرٍ فَلَا رَدَّ لِفَضْلِهِ. That if Allah Ta'ala wants to grant any good, nobody can take away. And if He wants to grant any problem and difficulty, then nobody can move that difficulty away as well. If He wants to give good, nobody can block that. If He wants to put on difficulty, nobody can block that off as well. And the third verse that I read in the morning, سَيَجْعَلُ اللَّهُ بَعْدَ عُسْرٍ يُسْرًا. I accept that there is a problem, there is a difficulty, but it's not the end of the road. Soon, سَيَجْعَلُ اللَّهُ, seen come for soon. Soon Allah Ta'ala will bring up ease after this difficulty. After this phase of difficulty, Allah Ta'ala will bring some ease. The shop things are not working out, Allah Ta'ala will bring this ease. You have that hope in Allah Ta'ala that He's going to do it. Why can't we hope in Allah Ta'ala? حُسْنُ الظَّنِّ مِنْ حُسْنِ الْعِبَادَةِ. The hadith says that to have a high regard is a great ibadat. What? To have high regards, high opinions is a great ibadat. So can't we have great opinions of Allah Ta'ala? Allah Ta'ala, alright, this is a difficulty that has come my way, and you'll bring some good. حُسْنُ الظَّنِّ مِنْ حُسْنِ الْعِبَادَةِ. This thing came, something better will come. This thing went away, something better will come. I lost 1 rand, I'll get 500 rand now. So can't you think like that? You have that good opinion, good regards, and you'll find Allah Ta'ala will make things work for you. Why should you block your work, your striving, your hopes, your aspirations because of this thing here? No, it went away, it's not meant. I must try. Whatever it is, I must try, I must carry on with my life. So this is the third verse that I recite. Amir ibn Abd Qais says this. And the fourth verse that I recite, وَمَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. There isn't a single living creature, but Allah Ta'ala has taken upon Himself to provide and take care of its sustenance. When we say sustenance, it doesn't only really refer to eating. Everything, home, family, wife, children, so all this is sustenance. All these are sustenance. Sustenance doesn't only mean food and water. So Allah Ta'ala has taken it upon Himself to provide food, shelter, wife, children, whatever else. But Allah Ta'ala has taken it upon Himself to provide. One buzurg came to one masjid, you know. So, the Imam Sahib saw this buzurg. After the namaz, he's asking that buzurg, you know what? How do you make your livelihood? How do you get your livelihood? So the buzurg repeated the asr namaz, and now this Imam Sahib says, you know, I had one question, I got 2 questions. The first question was still unanswered, that how do you make your livelihood? And the second question is, my namaz was correct, why did you have to repeat it? So that Buzurg says that I had to repeat my namaz because when you asked that question, I doubted your iman. Allah Pak says that I have taken the responsibility of rozi. I have assumed that I have taken the responsibility. When Allah Ta'ala has taken the responsibility, then how can you doubt? Like Allah Pak is providing for you, He's providing for me. And sometimes, in fact, most of the times, these animals that we think that are senseless, right? Their rozi is far more enormous than a whole home. See one whale, how much it eats for one day. One whale, how much it eats. I think 10 families or 40 families together, that what all you eat, that whale must be eating maybe in 2 hours or 3 hours. One elephant, how much it eats. So these things that are senseless, then Allah Ta'ala takes care for their rozi. So He takes care for your rozi as well. So this is not a thing that you'll be supposed to be stressing about. Tomorrow is another day. Today it happened, didn't happen. Tomorrow is another day. Let me carry on. So really Islam doesn't allow you and doesn't permit you to become despondent. Didn't work out in this avenue, let me try another avenue. This thing didn't work out, let me try tomorrow. Tomorrow is another day. Why must I now block all my aspirations and my hopes in Allah Ta'ala? Allah Ta'ala didn't ask me to block my aspirations. And Allah Ta'ala didn't tell me that you are responsible for your rozi. He said He's responsible and He wants me to have high aspirations and hopes in Him. So why must I block it out? If I'm going to block that out, then I don't have iman in that hadith. I don't have iman in that verse of the Quran.